All right, so let's talk about the S word. Anybody have any idea what we are going to talk about? We're going to talk about submission. I'll get there in a second. But just a quick summary of where we are at. So we have been talking about community for the last few weeks, and currently we're talking about the one another's in the New Testament. We talked about forgiving one another and loving one another. Church communities consist of sinful and messy people, and there will in any church there will always be conflict, there will always be disagreements, simply because none of us is perfect. And then the wrong choice that some people unfortunately take is church hopping. They see a problem in one church, they decide this church is not perfect, let me go to another church. Then in the next church, they realize that church isn't perfect either, and so they really hop from one place to the next. But the Bible tells us to love and forgive each other, even when there are conflicts, even when there are disagreements within the church. The disciples failed Jesus many times, but what did Jesus do? He just loved them, and he continued working with them. And that's what we are called to do here as well, as one church. That, of course, also means that we need to receive God's love and God's forgiveness first, because only when we can receive it from God. We don't have it ourselves. We need to receive it from God first, and then we can extend it to each other as well. And the Bible says that the result of this will be that the world will see that Jesus is alive and lives inside of us. And last week, we talked about bearing each other's burdens. There are two kinds of burdens in Galatians 6. One is the things that the world throws at us, difficulties from this world, difficulties of living in this fallen world. And then there are responsibilities and callings, the things that God wants us to do. And the things that the world throws at us, we are to carry them together for one another. Dealing with sin, helping each other out when someone loses his job, when someone gets sick, faces a struggle at work, and these kind of things. That we are supposed to carry together as one church. But then the calling that God has for us individually, we have to carry that ourselves. We are the body of Christ. Each one of us has to do his or her part because there is no second us. And we have to give an account to God one day whether we fulfilled the responsibility, the calling, the tasks that he wanted us to do on this earth. And then in the small group last week, we said one of the ways in which we want to do it here at Aletheia is that we want to pray for each other. And we want to have regular guys and ladies gathering so that we can be the kind of community that can truly share each other's burdens. All right, so that's where we're at. Now, today's focus, the S word, submit to one another. Ephesians 5, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I know many people in the church don't like this word. The moment they hear the word submission, it creates all kinds of emotions inside of them. Oftentimes, people have a wrong understanding of what submission actually is. Maybe they had a bad experience in the past with a pastor or with a father or with a husband or someone like this who just misused biblical teaching on this topic, submission. And to be perfectly honest, I'm not surprised if someone listens to this sermon online and turns off right now. Because that person might say, you know, I want to hear God's word, but the topic of submission, I'm out of it. I'll look for something else on YouTube to listen to. But it doesn't change the fact that the principle of submission is biblical. We can find it many times throughout the New Testament, but unfortunately many people misinterpret what it actually is. Either they don't know or they misuse it for selfish purposes. And then, of course, that leads to all kinds of problems. So today we'll try to take a fresh look at this topic. What is the biblical definition and the meaning of submission? And I want to encourage everyone, if this causes any kind of emotional reactions, and we're like, I am not sure if I want to listen to this, please don't turn off now if you're listening to this online. Just listen to it and then bring it in prayer to God afterwards and see what it says to you personally. Let's start with what submission is not. Submission does not mean that we cannot have an opinion. I've seen those kinds of relationships. Maybe a church leader or a husband just makes unilateral decisions. And it's like, I'm the leader here, you have to submit, so I'm deciding and you have nothing to say and your opinion doesn't matter. This is not biblical submission. And anybody who practices that or teaches this kind of practice is not really teaching what the Bible says. Submission also doesn't mean we are of less worth. Another misunderstanding that many people have. In the world, it works like that. That is true. So if you're the boss in the company, then you're usually more worth than the employee, and it is expressed in your salary and these kind of things, because you're kind of the leader, and other people have to do what you tell them to do. So that might be true in the world. That's not true in God's kingdom. We are all of the same worth. We are all created in the image of God. And it doesn't matter whether you have a leading position or if you're a husband or a wife and leading and submission and all those things that we will talk about. It says nothing about our value. It says nothing about our worth. We are all of equal worth, but we do have different roles within the church. Submission also doesn't mean that we simply do whatever the other person tells us to do. It's terrible when husbands do something like this and they kind of abuse their wife and say, hey, you have to bring me a beer because the Bible says so, because the Bible says submit to me. That is terrible. There are exceptions and where we don't have to submit, like in this kind of situations. And it also does say that we don't just have to blindly follow. We can object, but even though we are submitting, we can object, and we can call people out for doing something wrong. So these are some common misunderstandings of what submission is. And if that's what we think about this word, then no wonder we are emotional and we don't like this word, because that's not what the Bible says. But let's get into some practical realities. Simple fact, every time we have more than one person making a decision together, we have to have some form of tiebreaker. Otherwise, we will be stuck. Imagine in marriage, husband and a wife. Husband says, we should buy a new car. The wife says, no, we shouldn't buy a car. We need to save because for some valid reason, she says, we might need the money for something else. So we have two opinions. Where's the tiebreaker? How do you move forward? And who makes a decision? Imagine a family, two parents say, hey, let's visit grandma and grandpa. Four kids scream at them, we hate them, we don't want to go there. What do you do in this kind of situation? Someone needs to make a decision and needs to overrule and may have the final word. Imagine in a church, one person says, God told me that the church should hire one more person. Another person says, I prayed about this as well, and God told me that we need to invest in something else, and we don't have the money for both, and we need to invest in this and buy this so we can't hire another person. What do we do? Two people having different opinions, wanting to make different decisions. In any of these kind of situations, we can't please everyone. Sometimes we can do a majority vote, but even then, that doesn't always resolve the problem. Sometimes it makes things even worse. So, what do we do when we face these kind of situations? And of course, we are talking about a Christian context now, not a worldly context, but a Christian family or a Christian church. What do we do if there are different opinions on the table and different people wanting to do different things? Well, we need the other side of submission, and that is leadership. Leadership is someone who has the final word and someone who can make the final decision. Someone who has the authority and the responsibility to make the final decision. And everyone else in the end must say, okay, if that's what you decide, then let's do it. Now, just to be clear, there are two elements to that. One is authority. Once someone has the final word and someone can in the end say, you know what, I decide now and this is what we're going to do. But also a responsibility. Because that person will one day stand before God. Let's use husband and wife as an example. Let's say the husband overrules his wife and says, you know, I'm going to decide. And he makes the wrong decision. When that husband stands before God, he cannot say to God, you know, it's my wife's fault. If he chooses to overrule, and if he chooses to claim his authority to make the final decision, he will stand before God one day, and if he made the wrong decision, God will then also hold him responsible for making the wrong decision. So, submission and leadership go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. With that being said, let's look at what the Bible says about leadership and what it does not say. Biblical leadership is not the right to tell other people what to do. That's how the world works, but that is not God's kingdom. A boss tells his employees what they have to do. Government tells the citizens the laws and how they have to behave. Teachers tell their students what they have to do. And if someone doesn't do it, what is the consequence? You get some punishment in some form. If it's the law, then maybe you have to pay a fine or you have to go to prison. If it's the teacher, maybe you get a bad grade. If it's your boss, then maybe you get fired or something like this. But this is not biblical leadership. Biblical leadership is to make decisions that meets the needs of the people that he is leading. It's the exact opposite of, wife, submit to me, bring me a beer. It's not, citizens pay more taxes so that I get more rich, so that I feel better about myself. Instead, leadership means we make decisions that are the best for other people. And we see that, for example, in how Paul describes the relationships between husbands and wives. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. That's the submission part. And then in verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So the biblical principle is, yes, the husband has the last word in marriage. But when he makes decisions, he has to consider his wife's needs above his own. Simple example. I know life isn't always that simple. If we are planning our holidays in the family, and I talk with my wife and I say, hey, I would really like to go to the mountains, and my wife says, no, I want to go to the beach, what should I decide? Well, your needs above my own. Let's go to the beach. Another simple example. Then we decide we go out together. I want to eat pizza. My wife says, no, I feel like eating Japanese food. What should I decide? I should decide, okay, your needs above my own. You choose the restaurant. Of course, life isn't always that simple. Decisions are often complex, and there are many different factors that we need to consider. But the principle is this. If we are in leadership, we need to make decisions that meet the needs of other people, that meet the needs of the people that we are leading, and not primarily our own needs. And so when we talk about submission, as we do today, we also have to talk about leadership. And when we talk about leadership, we have to talk about biblical leadership. If any time anybody within the body of Christ wants to be a leader, we have to understand what biblical leadership is. Not the right to boss other people around, but the responsibility to say, I will set your needs higher than my own. And I will make decisions that will primarily meet your needs and not mine. Take it one step further. Any person in biblical leadership will have to give an account for how we have led the people God has entrusted us. Every husband will stand before God one day, and God will ask us, I have given you leadership, I have given you authority. How did you use that leadership? How did you use that authority to meet the needs of your wife? For those of us who are parents, we are leading our kids. God will ask us, how did you use your authority that I have given you over your kids to meet their needs and to make decisions that are best for them? If you're a church leader, how did you lead the church in a way that is best and that met the needs of the people I entrusted to come to your church? That is biblical leadership. And abuse of this kind of authority is a serious sin. Using our God-given authority to suppress other people, control other people, or forcing them to do what we want them to do is an offense to God. And if we do this, we're in serious trouble with Him. Now, if you're thinking this is just me thinking my ideas, no, Jesus said the same thing. Matthew 20. Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. In other words, this is how the world works. A boss, a ruler, a politician, whatever, they just decide what is best for them. But it shall not be so among you. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. The NIV says here, let him be your servant. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Why did Jesus die? Because he's the greatest leader of all times. He showed us what true leadership is. He sacrificed his life for our sake. And that's what biblical leadership comes down to. In this world, it's all about you do what I say. You help me reach my goals. You help me make life, my life better. You're my servant. In God's kingdom, it's the other way around. If I'm your leader, I will serve you. I will do what is best for you. I will help make your life better. I choose to be your servant. I put your needs above my own. We often hear the word servant leadership. It's now also in the business world very often that they say, hey, we're looking for a servant leader or something like this. These words come from Jesus. These words, this term comes from this verse. So my point is, biblical leadership is very different from what most people think about leadership. And that, of course, should also change our view on the topic of submission. When we are combining submission with worldly leadership, then it's cruel. Because then we think like, okay, so I have to submit to someone who is selfish and who's trying to use me for his purposes. And then, of course, we feel like a doormat. But that's not what it means. Submission goes in line with biblical leadership, with servant leadership. And when both these things work well together and both are exercised properly, then we get unity within a marriage, we get unity within a family, we get unity within a church. Submission goes hand in hand with biblical leadership. Let's look at how Jesus submitted. We think, okay, Jesus is God, so why would he submit to anybody? Well, he did. Obviously, he did submit to the Father, for example, Luke 22. Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. We know all this. In Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, hey, I don't want to go to the cross, but the Father said, no, this is my will, I want you to die. And what was his prayer? He said, this is what I want, but in the end, not my will, but your will be done. he submitted to the will of the Father. But he also submitted to human beings. He submitted to his earthly parents, Luke 2. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. In other words, he submitted to them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. So Jesus said, these are my earthly parents. I will submit to their leadership. He submitted to local authority. Jesus paid the temple tax. If there was ever anybody who didn't have to pay the tax, it was Jesus. Hey, it's his building. It's about worshiping him. Why would he have to pay the tax? But he paid it anyways. Matthew 17, however, lest we should offend them, go to the sea, cast a hook, and take up the fish that first comes up, and when you have opened its mouth, you shall find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and you. The way was maybe not what we expected, but the point is, Jesus paid the temple tax. He didn't have to, but it was the custom. It was the local authority that told him to pay the temple tax, so he did it. He told us to submit to spiritual leaders. Matthew 23, he said, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seats. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you, observe. What they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not according to their works, for they say and do not. In other words, he is saying, don't copy their lifestyle, because their lifestyle is not right. But they are your spiritual leaders. Do what they say, even if it's not right, even if you don't agree with them. Since they sit in Moses' shoes, you got to do what they tell you to do. Submit to spiritual leadership. In the end, he even submitted to his enemies. Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Eden. When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. In other words, he was saying, I submit to you guys crucifying me now. Why? Because the Father was in it. Because the Father was telling him, you need to submit to these people who are going to kill you. So we see Jesus gave us an example. The Son of God submitted to people because that was the right thing to do. Jesus also came to serve. Matthew 20, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. In the NIV it says, not to be served, but to serve. In other words, he was saying, I will be a servant leader. Leadership means serving other people. So Jesus gave us an example to lead, what leadership is, and he also gave us an example of what it means to submit to others. He did it. He practiced it. And now he's calling us to do the same. Now back to the other side of the coin, submission. God calls us to submit. But what does that actually mean? As I already mentioned, biblical submission is not a command to become a doormat, because we are submitting to a person that will hopefully consider our needs. Biblical submission is a way of saying, I trust that God will meet my needs as I submit to the authority that he placed above me. If we are in a church and there is leadership, we are to submit and to say, as I submit to the church, as God wants me to, God will meet my needs. Sometimes through the church, hopefully, sometimes maybe around the church, because leadership is not perfect in everything, but God will honor my willingness to submit, and he will meet my needs. Same for children. Children don't always agree with their parents, and that's a good thing. But submitting to the parents is a way of saying, I trust that God will honor my submission to my parents, and he will meet my needs when I choose to submit to their leadership. Same in marriage for husband and wife. God rewards us when we put our trust in him and we submit to the people that he wants us to submit to. And yes, sometimes the person who is supposed to that we are supposed to submit to isn't really leading well. Church leaders are not Jesus. Husbands are not Jesus. Parents are not Jesus. And yes, leaders do mess up. Does that then mean that we don't have to submit any longer? Well, God's commandment is clear that clearly not dependent on how well the other person is leading. Jesus submitting himself to people who mistreated him. People submitted himself to people who eventually killed him. And if anybody ever had a reason to say, I'm not going to submit to you because this leadership is not good, it was Jesus. But he still did. And he still chose to submit. So our submission cannot be dependent on how well other people are leading. The principle of submission is global, and it's not dependent on what the other person is doing. There's only one exception, and that exception is, of course, sin. If a boss tells us, hey, I want you to lie to the customer so that we make more profit, so that we can sign the deal, then, of course, we have the right to say, you know what? No, I'm not going to do that. Because you're asking me to sin, and I'm not submitting to sin. Same in marriage, same with children, same in the church, in any kind of relationship. If someone asks us to sin, then we have the right to say, no, I'm not going to submit to that kind of leadership. But other than that, if we just feel like this person is not leading me well, this person isn't really meeting my needs or something like that, then we have to say, you know what, I'm going to submit anyways, because this is what God wants me to do, and he will honor me, and he will honor my submission, and he will meet my needs, even if the person that I'm submitting to is not doing it. So those are the principles. Let's get more practical. Who should we submit to? What commands does the Bible give us? The first one should be quite obvious, but let's not forget mentioning it here. We should submit to God. It's called obedience. James 4, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The Christian lifestyle should always be, I want to do my Father's will. Friend in Shanghai, she had a very interesting sounds negative, but it really, when she gave her definition of Christianity or what it means to live a Christian life, I had to think a little bit about it, and I totally agree with her. But she basically said, for her, the Christian walk comes down to two things. I listen to what God is saying, and then I do it. It really took me a bit, because I was thinking like, oh, I need to talk about Jesus, I need to talk about sin, I need to talk about forgiveness and all these things. But if you really want to summarize it, it really comes down to these two things. I listen to what God wants me to do, and then I just do it. That is submission to God. That is trust in God, that is faith in God. To simply say, I'll do whatever God wants me to do. Submitting ourselves to God. Now, we already mentioned it, husband and wife. Now here, just to be clear, again, it's often misinterpreted. It does not mean that women are supposed to submit to men. That's wrong. That's a bad interpretation of the biblical principle. It only says that wives are to submit to their husbands, to one man and not to all men. So we already looked at this. I'm not going to repeat myself. But the biblical principle is, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Husband, dedicate your whole life to this principle. Of course, first, please God. And then secondly, meet the needs of your wife. And then, if he does a good job, then she will say, since you are meeting my needs, I am willing to submit to you. And I'm willing to give you the last word and decisions, because I know that you are making decisions that are good for me. That's how marriage should work. Another area we should submit is church leadership. Hebrews 13, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Again, same principle. A church should work in a way that the leadership says, how can I meet the needs of the congregation? How can I help the people in my church grow? How can I help them become more like Jesus? How can I help them in their daily lives? Does someone need money? Does someone need encouragement? Does someone need a phone call? How can I pray for the people? These kind of things. This is what a church leadership should do with their congregation. And then in turn, the members should say, you know what? I feel cared for by this leadership. I feel they love me. I feel that they really want the best for me. So I trust them that they make good decisions, and I'm willing to submit to them. I know there are very bad examples, leaders who teach on tithing so that they get a huge salary and these kind of things, all there. Leaders who get into ministry to prey on young women, I've seen it, it's horrible. Leaders who want to receive praise from men for their sermons and these kind of things. I know these cases are real, but the way a church is supposed to work, leadership takes care of the congregation, and in turn, the congregation is willing to submit to the leadership. We're also supposed to take care of, to submit to our local authorities. 1 Peter 2, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king as supreme, and so on. God expects us to obey the laws that apply to us. We are living in Germany here right now. We are to obey German law. That's honoring God. We are to obey the law of our home country if it affects us and how it affects us. We are to obey the law, the leadership of this world, according to what they say to us. We are to live lives of good citizens, pay our taxes, not get in violation with the law, unless the law are against God's commandments. Do what we can to be good citizens. This is God's expectation towards us so that we can have a peaceful life with one another. Be good citizens. Submit to your local authorities, unless, of course, they expect us to sin. Next, earthly masters. The main way that would apply is, of course, our boss. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as man pleases, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. So for those of us who have a job, this would be our boss in our company. If we are students right now, this would be our teachers. Our main motivation for working should not be money or good grades. Our main motivation should be, I want to please God with my work. Because ultimately, I'm not working for this company. Ultimately, I'm not working for a salary. Because that is all temporary. Ultimately, I am working for the glory of God. If we have a job right now, it's a gift from God. If we are in the education system right now, it is a gift from God. And we are to honor God with the way that we treat our earthly masters. The Bible also tells us to submit to older people. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. As a teenager or as a young Christian, I became a Christian when I was 25, I did not believe in this, to be honest. In my arrogance and in my pride, I thought I know everything better. And when I found older people also who had a different opinion, I just thought, you're too old, you have no idea anymore. That kind of mindset. Is that good? No, not at all. It's exactly the opposite. of what the Bible tells us. Let's be honest, people who went before us, who have more life experience, they often know things we don't know. And I wish when I was younger that I had listened more to older people and submitted myself to them and said, you know what, I trust that you know better because of your life experience. And I'm still looking for people and thinking of our network, for example. I love talking with people who are older than me, who are more experienced than me, because very often they know things I don't know. Submit yourself to older people. And then lastly, to one another. The same verse, second part, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Here it says, be subject one to another. In other translations, it says, submit to one another. So this is not just about positions. This is not just about gender, husband, wife. This is not just about being a boss or something like that. In the end, we should all have the attitude here, I want to submit to you. I want to be someone who learns from you, and I want to respect you. I want to respect your opinions. I want to respect your wishes. I want to respect your desires. I want to respect your life experience. I choose to submit to you. Submit one to another. It's a sign of humility. It's a sign of being able to say, you know, I'm not God. I don't know everything. I'm not the most wise person in this room. I'm not the most experienced person in this room. And there are things I simply don't know, or things that I can't really grasp, or I can't really understand. So you know what? I believe you know this better than me. I submit to you. You make the decision. You should call the shots here. You're having the final word here. Why? Because I trust that you know better, and I trust that you make decisions that are good for all of us. And if I think that you know better than me, then you make the call instead of me myself. God honors the humble. God honors those who are willing to say, you know, I don't know everything. But God opposes the proud. Those who think, I'm the best one here. I'm the most experienced person here. I'm the person who is most educated here. So I know what to do. And you all are idiots. That's pride. And if we have that kind of attitude, maybe we win the argument within the church or within our small group or in our marriage or whatever. Maybe we win the argument there. But the result will be that God opposes us. And God will humble us. I'd rather humble myself towards others and submit myself to others and be lifted up by God than trying to dominate other people and put myself above other people and then God puts me down. We have that choice. We can be willing to submit to one another and we can have God lift us up. Or we can choose to oppose others. We can be unwilling to submit. And then God will oppose us. So what does this look like? What does it mean as a church to submit to one another? Well, it comes down to one main thing. Considering the needs of other people. Being aware, this church is not all about me. This church is not all about what I want. This church is not all about having it my way. Other people have needs. Other people have wants. Other people have wisdom. Other people have gifts that I don't have. You know what? Let's do it together. Let's just say certain things you decide because you're more gifted in this area than I am. Certain things you decide because you're more experienced in this area than I am. certain things, you have certain needs that maybe I don't have, but if these are your needs and you want these needs met in this church, then let's do it, even though it doesn't really benefit me much because I don't have this need, but let's do it anyways because this is what is good for the church. This is what is good for other people. We should all have that kind of attitude in the church. And we should all have that kind of attitude in our relationships with each other. It's not about me. It's about all of us. And it's about your needs just as much or even more than it is about my needs. Paul puts it this way in Philippians, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." It's not about striving to get my way. It's not about striving to get glory and in the end to say like, hey, look what I've done, all my work, and look at all the results. That is strife, and that is vainglory. Instead, we should come to church, we should come to this community with the attitude, how can I serve you? How can I help you? What needs do you have? And what can I do to meet the needs that you are having? Submit yourself to one another. The opposite of submitting is, of course, things like bossing people around. I've seen it. People saying something like, I'm the pastor here. I'll decide. I don't care what you want. I don't care what you wish. Who wants to be part of that kind of church? I don't. It's the opposite of nagging. Saying the same thing 10, 20, 100 times until everybody else is totally annoyed. And in the end, people sometimes give in when they nag, not because they are convinced, but just because they hate the nagging even more. It's the opposite of manipulating. This could be a whole sermon in itself, but there are so many ways in which we can try to manipulate others. That's for another day, but manipulation is not something that should happen in the church. It's not something that God wants. It's Satan's tool. Or trying to get people on our side. Again, something I've seen so often back in Shanghai, where people try to just, they have an idea, and then they try to get one person after the other on their side, and then in the end we can say, we 100 people, we all agree on this, and now, Pastor, you have to do it. This is divisive, because it's undermining the authority, and it's just kind of trying to get people on our side so we get our agenda done. So these are just some examples. The point is, such behavior is the opposite of submitting to each other. So how can we examine ourselves? How can we examine, for example, our marriage, our family, our church? What are we kind of projecting? Are we showing servant leadership? Are we showing submission? Or are we kind of trying to control others? Well, one indicator is this, and I've seen it so often in all kinds of contexts. Many different situations, when I am willing to submit to other people, they, in response, submit to me as well. And when I try to fight and dominate other people, they fight back. It's like that so often. In marriage, with my kids, in the church, in my workplace, it's always the same principle. One of the best tools that my wife has when we have an argument or when we have different opinions, the best tool that she has is when she comes to me and we can argue all we want. And sometimes it gets heated and all kinds of things. You know how she wins the argument? When she says, Bernd, you're the husband, you decide. When she does that, everything inside of me turns around. 10 seconds before that, I could be in my head, I could be really angry, and I could be really be like, I have to win this argument, I have to convince her, all these kind of things. The moment she is willing to submit to me, I'm like, oops, I need to change my mindset. I really need to consider her needs. I really need to consider the way that what my decision does to her. And then suddenly I say, you know what? I need to submit to her and I need to consider her needs. And I really need to stop arguing here. And most of the time, then in the end, I'm like, you know what? Have it your way. Because I need to make decisions that are best for you. Submission to other people is often responded with submission from their side as well. Trying to dominate other people very often is also then reciprocated, and other people try to dominate us as well. So we can examine ourselves, and we can simply ask ourselves, what am I creating in other people? Is everybody trying to boss me around? Maybe it's because I'm trying to boss people around, and I'm kind of creating it in them, and they just respond to me trying to be a dominant leader, and that's why they respond all like that to me. Or can I say, you know, people are really willing to submit to me. Maybe that's a good thing, and maybe it shows that I'm willing to submit to them as well. And they are just responding to my submission to them, and they are responding by being willing to submit to me as well. It has an effect. When we lead with dominance, we create the same in others. When we're willing to submit, other people are willing to submit to us as well. And what happens in a group like the church, if we are willing to submit to one another, there will be unity. We can have different opinions, we can have arguments over things, and arguments are not bad in themselves. We can say, one person says, let's turn left, the other person, let's turn right. All good, we have to have those discussions. But in the end, if we are all willing to submit to one another, whatever decision we make, we will all say we decided together, and there is unity. And if it's just overruled, because in this case, I then decide, and I say, you know what, as a pastor, I decide we do this, then 50% of the people who don't agree with me grumble, and there is no unity at all. Maybe outwardly we all do the right thing, but inwardly we are grumbling, we are losing relationships, people are angry with me, and all kinds of things happen. And then there is no unity any longer, and just disagreements, and just maybe gossip, and all kinds of things that happen in the background. Submission is the key to unity. And if we are united, if we want to be united as a church, we all have to choose to say, I'm going to submit to other people in this church. That's how we create unity. So in conclusion, being willing to submit to each other is a key element of being the community God wants us to be. It's really the foundation. It's a cornerstone. If we are willing to submit to each other, other things will be built on top of it. There will be unity, there will be love, there will be working together and all kinds of things, but the foundation for all of that must be the willingness to submit to one another. If there's no submission to each other, that foundation is missing, and no matter, it's like building a house without a foundation. Yeah, we can try to stuck a wall in the soil or something like that, and yeah, it'll hold for a while, but eventually that house will collapse. If we want to be a church community that can truly build something together, this is the foundation. This is the starting point. Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. May we pray. God, thank you for speaking to us today. And Lord, thank you for giving us the truth about what submission actually is. Lord, we know Satan doesn't like it when we submit to each other, and so Satan is trying to throw out all kinds of lies and confusion about what this actually is, what it actually means. But Lord, we pray that you will help us in this church to not believe these lies, but to stand in your word of what submission truly is. So please help us to put this into practice. help us put these principles in practice in our marriage, that husbands love their wives and set the needs of the wives above their own, and the wives choose to submit. Help us, Lord, in our families, with our children, to be good models of servant leadership and submission. Help us, Lord, in our workplace or in our schools, to be good examples of submitting to leadership. And also, Lord, in this church, we pray, Lord, that you will teach us to truly submit to one another in a biblical way, not in a worldly way, not in a way that confuses and that is dominant or anything, but, Lord, teach us to really submit to each other in our different roles, with our different gifts, with our different abilities, with our different likes and dislikes, with our different strengths and talents that we all have. Teach us, Lord, to submit to one another and to bring glory to you, God, with our submission and with our unity. Help us, Lord. Help us grow and help us be the church that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. As usual, just listen to God a few moments and listen to what he wants to say to us.